Previously on Podcast Without Pretense.
I'm just falling apart, guys.
So the beanbags I keep getting are not the ones that you fire at people. It turns out they're like sumo-sized, so that's a really bad idea when you're trying to take down a protester.
No, I opened up the stream on two laptops. That way I can like kind of just like see myself in the past. It's kind of awesome.
Hi, I'm Jonathan Strickland.
I'm Ayaz Akhtar.
And I'm Eric Sandine from the past.
And together...
Hi, Eric.
I don't even know anymore.
You don't, do you?
No, not anymore.
Today, we are not going to play our little game where we talk about a movie we've watched, but we did get a tweet. I don't know if you guys have seen this.
We did. I saw that.
Okay, so we talked about... So if you've never seen
this... Is it Dolph Lundgren?
It's not Dolph Lundgren. It's from Richard Norris.
Sadly,
who
not
obviously is Chuck Norris's like alter ego. And So we do this thing where we watch movies and we try not to get to a second screen and blah, 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 blah. If you don't know what the hell I'm talking about, go watch last week's episode.
Go anyway, watch like almost any other episode we do.
Yeah, when Jonathan explains it. So Richard Norris came up with the backronym to celebrate the show's sponsor.
Oh, right.
So he says that what we do is it's the Concentrate on Mediocre Cinema and See Times Challenge. Now, that actually spells Comcast Challenge, which I think arguably is very good. I think For right now, we'll call it the Concentrate on Mediocre Cinema and See Times Challenge.
Otherwise, I do like to think that every episode that I'm on is a Comcast Challenge just to see... Will I be able to have a full fucking episode without dropping out 8 fucking times?
I just want to see an awesome animated graphic with the Comcast challenge happening. Just like, see,
I like that we're outsourcing everything that we need for our podcast to like the 5 people who listen.
Hey, I didn't.
If there are any motion
that.
Graphics people out there, listen.
Look, I don't care if you do motion graphics. If you take a whiteboard or you just write it with a piece of paper, just
draw it.
And there you go. Just somebody literally writing it. Comcast challenge. Just set it on fire at the end of it. I'll get on that.
You the
we'll
high
send you
tech
another 10 bucks for
graphic effects.
So actually, as it flames away, the image underneath is a frozen Jonathan like this. That's usually
that would
what
be
happens.
Pretty accurate. Yeah, so the movie we will talk about once we've all seen it. I don't think none of you have watched it, right? I haven't seen it.
No.
I have not seen Honey.
Yeah, Honey is the next one. Mm-hmm. So, but this week has been particularly challenging for me, and so finding time where I could spend it wasted on a horrible movie has been not something that was achievable this week.
But you picked it, right?
I did pick it. Yeah, no, it had nothing to do with the movie I picked. It had everything to do with lots of unexpected circumstances popping up, from things like car problems to just all sorts of stuff that has taken up a lot of my time and attention. And so it's just real life crap that has interfered.
That sounds really convenient. Really convenient because, that happened to me, right? I picked Kindergarten Cop 2 and I'm like, oops. Life got in the way. I think life gets a lot more interesting when you choose the movie because you're like, do I watch Honey or do I check if the cars, the actual and check engine light matters?
Because I got to pick after that, and this week's already been long enough. So
you already
don't
picked
make
it.
Next week long.
I thought you picked something already. It was game with an H-O.
Honey.
No, you picked Honey, Jonathan. Eric already picked something with an H-O in the beginning because I know that I was going to pick Honey 2 as my pick.
Maybe it's Pretty Woman. There's a ho in the beginning of that movie.
Well played, sir.
That's very good. I'm going to find out what it was.
I'm ashamed of myself from that joke. It was so bad. So this has been, for people who are actually watching the video, they probably see. And then it's been an issue for a little bit. I've got this little discolored spot on my forehead where it's good old eczema fun times. Where I've reacted to something, and I think through stress and anxiety, it's just gotten it won't go away, and it's been like I said, a couple of really challenging weeks. So I'm feeling all sorts of awesome right now, like really confident about my appearance, great about life in general. The news from like the political world is filling me with joy. So don't know where the stress is coming from.
still, I can't find what Eric was going to pick. Was it?
I found it. It was Hotbot.
Thank you. I knew it started with the hoe.
Shit. I don't think I even remember you. It was probably one of the moments where I got knocked off the damn stream.
Oh my God.
I didn't hear you.
That is quite the album art. Yeah. So Hotbot will follow Honey. Now I might pick Honey too to continue the hoe train, as it were. Sorry, so let's go back to the blemish discussion and how everything is going very well in the world.
I mean, it's just one of those things where, like, you know, when part of your job is to be on camera, it's there's nothing like having it's like having a cold sore. It's like,
well, you can wear a hat.
Irritating, and I guess. I mean, part of the problem is that I think the hat, I am wearing a hat because I have to keep my head covered. It's very bright and sunny in Atlanta, and I don't want to
have makeup when you're on camera. I mean, they have makeup when you're on a camera. It's got to be easy to blend a whole head, right?
Oh yeah, no, it's easy. You just go to the hairline, which is somewhere like in the middle of my back. Actually,
I think it's closer to your. So like, you just move down. That's how you blend.
So
blend
how stuff down. Works, like 3/4 of their makeup budget is just like covering your head every day.
It's just me. Yeah, see, I don't tend to use makeup except for forward thinking videos. But if it gets this bad, if it's like that pronounced, then I'll go ahead and at least use some concealer to blend it and not make it quite so unsightly.
Maybe you're going the wrong way. Maybe you just need to get redder everywhere else. That might be easier. Yeah.
Oh, based upon how stressed out I've been, that's probably just going to happen on its own.
There we go. Jonathan's natural defense system. He's like, you see, his body's like, it's alcohol. I'll die. Oh, red spot. Make more. Totally makes sense. Winning him.
Yeah. Jonathan's been. I'm hashtag winning right now.
It's like kind of how Professor X can't walk because he's got that brain in there. It's very smart. Very good. But everything else is failing you. Like Comcast, which is not.
Yeah.
Really, not
fuck you.
It's a punishment. It's the comma.
I'll just be glad when this entire election season is over, when the purchase of the company that I work for is complete, which is almost done now, I think. Just when a lot of stuff gets settled, I'll be hopefully in a better place, but that's a few months for at least the election part. So that's a long time to hold out.
Yeah. I just want wedding season to end, but it's almost done.
Wait, I got a question for you guys.
My current wedding season, I suppose.
Yeah.
I just want that to end. So Friday I flew out, went to a wedding, flew back on Monday.
Oh,
Friday I fly out for a bachelor party and come back on Sunday. I don't want to do that. Like, 3-day work weeks are exciting when they're not bookended by no sleep.
Have you thought about becoming like an ordained minister so you can just marry everybody on the fly so you don't have to do these things?
Why
aren't you just marrying people, like just groups of them?
Drive by, you're married,
and then just go.
No one's asked.
Oddly enough, there's a certificate that you have to file with the local government in order to actually have it be a legal marriage.
Hey, listen, legal schmeagle, whatever. Right?
A tiny detail conveniently ignored by every fucking movie and television show ever made.
You know, although I'm very curious what would happen if Eric went ahead, married two strangers, handed them a certificate with like person A, person B, and I would wonder how many people would actually believe that they are actually married at that point. So
well,
what we're going to do...
If their education is completely based off Gilligan's Island, you're gold. Yeah.
All right, so Eric will only marry people who are about 40 to 50 years old. Actually, probably like 50 to 60 years old.
Yeah, no, I'm significantly older than that right now.
Yes,
yeah,
so actually.
Christ,
so you'll
guys,
be...
I'm 41 and I watched Gilligan's Island.
Well, you didn't watch it when it originally aired.
Reruns.
Yeah, I didn't say when it was first on the fucking air, did I?
Well, okay, so let's say Gilligan's Island or equivalent. Okay, it doesn't have to be that show because you're not going to find that anywhere.
How about Full House?
Fine. Full House it is, because on that show they showed that you could like go around a table or something and get married. So I think, Eric, on episode 200, that's when you will go out and marry people, and we will have cameras waiting for you, because at that point I'm sure this show will be making tons of money and we can afford such things and elaborate.
Well,
prints.
I mean, after calling out Comcast for so long, they will be your actual sponsor.
I'm waiting for Comcast to buy whatever company buys Jonathan's company. It's just got to be like conflict of interest, but fuck you, Comcast. Full disclosure, I work for Comcast. Fuck you, Comcast.
Not a problem. That's not the new owner of How Stuff Works. So
yet you got to think positively, Jonathan. Think positively. Did he freeze in that position?
Oh, let me
right freeze.
I froze a little bit. Yeah, it's about to give up. But
wow. See, the dramatic pauses are amazing.
I am gone.
You're gone. It's over. He's finished. Jonathan has quit the show on the show. And now he's rejoined the team.
No, it's Comcast that's Comcast that's quit the show.
Wait a second. I thought that was very scary, Eric. You know, I thought Jonathan was out of the show. He's finished. And those seconds, the milliseconds that passed, felt like my heart dropped. How about you?
I was worried. Yeah. I mean, it would have been really quiet here for a while.
Yeah,
like,
but it's okay. Right. Turns out,
I've got a. Jesus Christ! Let me fucking finish a sentence. All I want to do is finish a goddamn sentence. It's not even that important. Like it gets to the point where by the time I can finish it, it's not even worth saying anymore.
Yeah, like my favorite Mitch Hedberg joke. I hate it when people ask me what I said to repeat it. And all I'm really saying is,
some
look
insignificant
at that tree. But now I'm yelling, hey, you guys see that tree?
Well, the thing I was going to say is that at work I had joked about a new show at How Stuff Works in which a bunch of us just sit around and start pitching the worst version of different movie tropes, like cliches in movies. And the example we were specifically using was the meet cute.
Oh, yeah.
So you know the basic meet cute, right? Like, guys walking out with a bag of groceries, runs into a girl. Oh, the groceries spill down, and they're both picking everything up. And then, oh, magic, the meet cute, right? So we started joking about what if you just sat around pitching, like, the worst version of a meet cute you could come up with. And I think that's a fun game. Like, you might, like, one of my pitches might be, so there are two people on a plane, and one woman's walking back to the bathroom, and she passes a guy who is violently vomiting into a bag and then drops it at her feet, and he bends down to pick it up and looks up at her, and that's how they make their first connection. That would be a bad meet cute.
Well, I was thinking that you'd have some kind of maybe a janitor or a nurse throwing away the leavings of an abortion clinic and
wow,
then running into a cat. And that would be the worst meet cute possible. Obviously, the cat's adorable. Eric?
I'm going to take it back. It's going to be a historic movie. And it's, you know, two workers at a concentration camp reaching for a canister. Their hands touch. There we go.
Yeah, I think I think Eric wins that round.
Wait. Historical meet. This isn't going to be worse, but historical gets me in mind of this. A guy rushes in to a box seat at a theater, stares down in horror, looks up and says, "Oh, well, hello, Mrs. Lincoln."
Well, that's actually mildly funny. That sounds like
that's a humorous one, at least. Yeah.
It's still a tasteless meet cute, though.
And I would watch the rest of that movie.
That premise is better than Christian Mingle. Easily. I mean, that's my turn, and I got to think of a meet cute. This is trouble. Let's see. You already got Nazis, and you got abortion clinics. What's worse than that.
And presidential assassinations.
Like, it doesn't. I don't think it necessarily has to be like offensive. But
I was just thinking. So like, so it turns out that you have a murder happening, obviously, and one person is being the victim is being strangled with a plastic bag over their head, and they're suffocating and dying, and as they're reaching for a door, somebody finally walks in, and it's just the other killer, and then they fall in love as the guy dies. So there you go. There's the other meet cute. Just it's got like a plastic wrap meet cute.
I like that.
You like that one?
I've got one can build on from Iaz's.
Where I thought, so I was trying to build on Iaz's because what I was thinking of is not necessarily plastic wrap, but maybe a plastic bag around her head, right?
Yeah, that's
good. And it's from some store. She notices the name of the store. Is that like where you were going? Yeah.
Yep. I was going to go with there was a picture of a person on the bag.
Yep. Yeah.
And that's how she fell in love with Colonel Sanders.
It's just like, exactly. He's cute.
Okay. I'm glad I can set up the premise well. The execution,
really
not so good.
Super awkward beat cutes. Yeah. Public execution would be a good one. That's a good one where, let's say, again, historically, you've got, say, a Puritan who's about to drop an enormous rock on a woman who's been accused as a witch, and their eyes meet, and he's just like,
Or the protester who stands in front of the tank, who, as he puts his hands out, makes eye contact with the person in the tank. That's a meet cute.
This is getting really close to like the aristocrats. Like that's the level of joke we're hitting right now.
I don't know if I understand that.
We'd have to take all of these premises like to their end, at least.
The aristocrats, what are we talking about?
I know the aristocrats.
What is that?
I did.
It's a joke.
Yeah. You don't know the... Okay. It's a joke. Yeah. So...
Yeah.
I'll try and tell it. We'll see if I can get through it before my connection dies. All right. So a family of people come into a talent agent's office. It's a father, a mother, a little boy, a little girl, and a cute dog. And they tell the talent agent, hey, we've got a great act. It's a killer act. We guarantee you've never seen anything like it. And the agent says, all right, well, let me see what you do. So immediately circus music starts playing, and the dad suddenly rips off his shirt, and he just reveals that he's got piercings all up and down his torso. And his daughter ends up tying strings to all of them and pulling really tight until the flesh is actually ripping from his chest. And as he screams, the boy leans forward and starts lapping up the blood. Meanwhile, the mother has actually disrobed and is masturbating furiously on the talent agent's couch. The dog is doing little flips and pooping a bit each time, and the daughter picks up some of the poop and starts to spread it on her face, saying, I'm a pretty butterfly. I'm a pretty butterfly. So then the mother ends up pulling out a knife and ends up doing an actual unanesthetized circumcision on the little
Comcast has decided that joke cannot be continued.
And I'm frozen.
At this point. Here we go. So the circumcision, Jonathan.
So yeah, no, it gets, at any rate.
You got to get to the point.
So she circumcises the little boy, throws it. The dog catches it in his mouth. The father ends up slapping his daughter as hard as he can. She falls unconscious to the floor. They all turn to the talent agent, who looks at them in horror and shock and says, My God, what an act. What do you call it? And they say, the aristocrats. Every version of that joke is different, with different levels of obscenity and terror in it. So the idea is that it's a comedian's joke, and comedians tell it to each other. Already everyone knows what the punchline is. So the point is to craft the most insane, awful version of that joke.
So I'm gonna let that sit there.
There's a documentary.
Just to make the worst joke possible. That's
they did it a while ago, but yeah.
Oh yeah, that's
yeah. Penn Jillette did the documentary. Yeah.
Okay. So
yeah, it's we've good. Actually,
it's one of the most offensive.
South Park does a great one.
Okay, so we've done the meet cutes. I don't think we're doing that anymore unless we could come up. You have any other tropes?
Oh, well, that was just one I gave as an example, but I think that would be fun to do is just pick cliches from movies and then say like, well, what would be the most ridiculous or worst way to actually execute that?
As a show?
Well, I mean, I was making a joke at How Stuff Works saying we should do a video where it's just a group of us, like, just pitching the worst ideas we can think of that fall into Hollywood cliches.
Okay. This could be a spin-off show.
That could have a lot of content. You just got to go through tropes and.
Yeah. And then you just go down the line. And this is kind of based off, there's an improv game I've seen, and it's called The Pitch. And the way it works is you've got one person standing in as the director, and all the other actors line up, and the director goes down the line, and each improviser has to come up with a title for a movie, and then the director can decide whether they want to hear more about the movie, whether they want to actually see a scene from that movie so the improvisers have to act it out, or if they're just going to skip it entirely, or if it's just going to get greenlit right out of the gate. And it's supposed to be a really fast-paced game where, you never know. If you pitch a ridiculous title, they may say, well, tell me more. And then you have to actually come up with a story to support the ridiculous title you came up with. And then you may even have to act out a scene from it. And it tends to be a very entertaining game. So this would be kind of on that level, except not quite as detailed. Because all you're doing is just pitching the variation on that trope.
I'm thinking this has to be a segment on this show. Like, we have the premise before, like, we do the episode. And actually have at least three ideas each. Because on the fly, we came up with some pretty fucked up stuff. That was on the fly. That was not prepared, ladies and gentlemen. If you're listening to this or watching this and you're like, you guys clearly staged that. No, we're just thinking of the worst things possible. Because the next one I was thinking was something more like somebody inseminating a cow and then take it from there.
I was going with burn victims.
This is the wrong response to the phrase burn victim. We should not be laughing like this. This show is just going to be called Going to Hell and okay with it.
Which is funny because that's what we talked about before we went live.
By the title of the one where Jonathan tells the aristocrats.
Yeah. I told that to a friend of mine who is tends to be a lot more blue with his language and humor than I tend to be. And when I told him my version of the aristocrats, he was like, I am simultaneously horrified, disappointed, and impressed.
Okay. I want to write that down as the title, but I can't because it's too damn long. So somebody else has got to write that down. All right. So what else do we got? Jonathan's so unbelievably edgy that, again, our sponsor, Comcast, sponsor of the Comcast Challenge, they are throttling him consistently because he's so...
Yeah, it's been bad. It's been bad. It's I can't seem to get a single Skype call to last for more than maybe 5 or 10 minutes without major delays.
Well, maybe we need to put you on Hangouts or something awful.
I don't know if that's any better. I think it's. I really do think part of the problem is that I think the uplink on my upspeed is much worse than I'm getting these crazy signal fluctuations that usually suggest a loose wire or some water shorting out the connection or something. But all the connections through my house appear to be stable, so it's. Not in my house, which means it's somewhere along the outside, and that makes it more complicated because it's not something I can easily replace.
I'm now realizing that'd be a great premise for a horror movie, just trying to investigate the busted cable. as you're out there with a flashlight.
Not
like,
in the house.
It's
the signal fluctuations are coming from outside the house.
Because, like, you know, normally you're like, okay, wait a second. You're not going to go investigate a strange noise. It's generally a bad idea. But if your internet's out, you might actually go outside with a flashlight.
Might go look.
Like, I can't live without this shit. Like,
my download, like I can... I haven't had too many problems with stuff like Netflix dropping out on me recently, but anything that involves lots of uploading has been problematic. So I'm guessing that's more of the fluctuating signal problem than anything else, but I don't know what to do about it at this point. I've called them so many goddamn times.
I know what the problem is. It's very clear at this point. I know Eric's going to think this is the obvious problem. You see, if you haven't noticed in Jonathan's shot, he has a reflection of a ceiling lamp, a ceiling fan that's going consistently. Skype is trying to figure out what the fuck to do. Okay, and it's sending so much data that it's freaking the fuck out because it can't just compress that because it's constantly changing. Now, watch.
I just turned it off, asshole. Going.
It's still going, though. Wait a second now. Yeah, you turned it off. But it doesn't stop the motion. It's the reflection in what? That picture.
It takes a while. There's this thing called momentum.
Well, don't call me an asshole because you turned it off when it's still not, like, stopped. Okay? It's about the reflection, the compression, and it's freaking out because the amount of bandwidth you need to upload a reflecting fan is far too great for your connection, thanks to Comcast. Right, Eric?
The best part was you cut out for a second there.
Yeah.
That's better.
Yeah.
It was very important.
However, I mean, you're not wrong, but...
I have a question for you guys, though. Totally unrelated to that.
Good.
Have either of you watched any of Stranger Things? Because that's something all of my friends are going apeshit over. Zero for you, Ayaz. You, Eric?
And we watched episode 2. Yeah.
Okay. I know a guy who's in it.
Cool.
The guy who's the teacher who gives the kids the ham radio or shows the kids the ham radio.
Spoiler. Jeez, now the show's ruined for me. Fuck. Jesus.
Yeah, that was your. I mean,
the super minor character. that's played by Randy Havens, who's an improviser here in Atlanta. He used to be a part of the theater I go to all the time. I've only seen the first episode. I liked it.
It was good.
It does feel kind of like Stephen King meets Steven Spielberg.
It definitely does. Yeah.
That's what I've heard. Also heard John Carpenter influences are there. I'm very curious about watching it myself, but it's a low priority right now because I still want to watch. I haven't seen any of Mr. Robot, so I'm going to get on that first.
I'm still there with you on that one. I need to watch
it. It's supposed to be amazing and everything, so I'm like, okay, I'll watch that.
Yeah.
Yeah, same here. Yeah. I've got Mr. Robot mask.
Are you wearing it now?
No.
No.
No, this... If I were, then I'd be less upset about the eczema.
There you go. Maybe that's your new shtick. You have, like, your own masks, and you can emote through them, kind of like when Hugo Weaving did it when he was playing V. Just, can you emote through a still mask?
Or when Bryan Cranston wore a Bryan Cranston mask to Comic-Con.
Oh, yeah.
So you guys know that Bryan Cranston was on the original Power Rangers thing? Because I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't know about it. I didn't know about it until I did an episode of Large Nerdron Collider, and my co-host pointed out that he had done voices for the original series, and it was all news to me.
And he claims that Billy Cranston, the Blue Ranger, is named after him? So I don't know if he's just like the biggest... Huh. Pranker in the world and like, I found some bullshit about this. Or it's true. It sounds like it's true because he was a comedic actor looking for work. Good chance he did it because, like, why not make a couple bucks? But it seems like a very odd idea that Bryan Cranston, the badass dude from Breaking Bad, Tim Watley from Seinfeld, was the voice of, I guess, several bad guys.
Well, I mean, when you think about him as what a goofball he played on Malcolm in the Middle, I mean... Yeah.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah, I love the fact that he has played such incredibly... Like, when I saw him in Breaking Bad, I was so skeptical about the fact that he was cast in it, because all I knew him from, really, was Malcolm in the Middle. And then I saw him, and I thought, wow, this guy's got some chops. He can cut loose and be a complete doofus... or he can be like the most terrifying human being I've encountered, that kind of thing.
That's Bryan Cranston. Is he in any of those? What do I want to think he's in one of the superhero things? I think he plays like Commissioner Gordon in a animated movie. He's actually in Year One.
Yeah. Well, he was the best thing in the Godzilla film from a couple years ago.
Oh, right. Yeah. That movie.
Sadly didn't last long enough for him to be a main character.
Well, he was nope. in the movie longer than Godzilla was. So.
I guess so. Yeah, that's technically.
True. Victory for Cranston. There. And if we spoiled Godzilla for you, sorry.
I was really hoping that
you didn't have to.
Yeah. You shouldn't have seen it at all. I was really hoping that when I was watching 10 Cloverfield Lane that it would be revealed that the girl would get outside of the bunker and it would just be a giant Bryan Cranston rampaging through town.
I've not watched that movie.
Yeah, I watched that movie. Do you plan on watching it, IS?
Okay, it's already spoiled for me. Like, I actually watched the CinemaSins version of it, Everything Wrong with 10 Cloverfield Lane, and I was like, I made the right decision not watching this movie.
No, the movie is good. I just don't like the third act. Like, I think the movie should have ended at the end of the second act. It would have worked better. It felt to me like it was 1.5 movies. It was a short film with an even shorter film tagged on at the very end of it.
Yeah, the funny thing about the ending of that movie was I didn't know 10 Cloverfield Lane was supposed to be in a universe that had already been created. Well, I didn't know it was in a different universe than our current own. So, like, when we got to the ending, I was like, oh, this is actually related to Cloverfield. I see now. Well,
so Eric was literally the only human being on the face of the planet who didn't know 10 Cloverfield Lane had a connection to Cloverfield.
And you know what the best part about that is? I enjoyed a lot of that movie because I didn't know that.
I would love for that kind of revelation to happen like in all movies. You're just watching, you know, you're watching Pretty Woman and then you see like the Ninja Turtles walk by and you're like, wait, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Just that shouldn't happen.
But I didn't know the Ninja Turtles also started with a hoe.
No, actually, the Thundercats do. So
that's true.
That'd be neat. Like, oh, we're on third Earth the whole time. Yes, we were.
It's like when I was watching. It's like when I was watching Poltergeist 2, and it wasn't until like 3 weeks later that I found out there was a Poltergeist. It's amazing.
You thought it was Poltergeist, the homonym T O O.
Yeah, I thought Poltergeist as well.
It's like this movie has people and Poltergeist too, right? So they called it, they shortened the title to Poltergeist 2. And so I thought, clearly, that's what this movie was about. That makes a lot of sense, I think. But yeah, it'd be nice to see like bullshit cinematic universes based on that, this idea. Like have the Ninja Turtles in Pretty Woman, the remake. Is there a remake of that? Sure, there probably is. Why not? It'll be directed by Michael Bay. Pretty Woman by Michael Bay is coming. And it's going to star Megan Fox.
Probably, yeah.
Sounds about right. Can she laugh? Has anybody ever seen her laugh?
I don't know that I've ever seen her laugh.
That's started sarcastic in my head. I'm like, wait, that's actually
seen her act. So
I've seen her bend over a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've seen her stand.
She can stand.
I don't remember her laughing, like in any movies. Mm-hmm. On that note, I think we should look to the future because why the hell not? Next time on Podcast Without Pretense.
So I told the aristocrats to Megan Fox and she laughed.
So I did some research and it turns out the Ninja Turtles are not in the same universe as Pretty Woman, but they are in A Few Good Men.
No, like I've read about it. She can't. It's some disorder. It's, you know, it's in DSM.